Let's open our Bibles this morning then, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter 20. We have God's Word before us there this morning. Also, we'll have the catechism, so if you have your catechism near to you, we'll be in Lord's Day 25. Heidelberg Catechism will be Lord's Day 25, which you should find on page 32 in the back of your Psalter hymnal. 32, page number for Lord's Day 25 in a moment. But first, dearly beloved, we're in the book of Ezekiel this morning. Our text will be verse 12. We'll read from the beginning of that through verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 20. Dearly beloved, this is God's righteous, pure, and perfect word. Let's listen to it that way. It came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. Say to them, Thus says the Lord God, On the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, Each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not cast away all the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known to them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and I showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them, and greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to bring them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said to their children in the wilderness, Do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their fathers' idols. Therefore I also gave them up to the statutes which were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. And again, congregation, our text, verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Thus far, dearly beloved, God's rich and wondrous word. Let's turn this morning then to the summary of the teaching of the Word of God, as we have it in the Heidelberg Catechism, page 32 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Page 32, we find those four questions and answers. Extolling the benefits that come to us on the Christian Sabbath, on the Lord's Day. And so, congregation, question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence comes this faith? From the Holy Spirit, who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the holy sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he of grace grants us the remission of sins and life eternal for the sake of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are then both the word and the sacraments designed to direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation stands in the one sacrifice of Christ made for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Well, dear congregation, these things the Word of God does teach, and therefore we do believe. Let's come before him once more this morning and ask his help in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Most glorious God, now we pray and ask that as we have just spoken, may it be for us a request that you teach us in the gospel. O Lord, we pray that you would do that work, not only of the instruction to the mind, but especially then the instruction to the heart. Grant that as we wrestle with these things in your word and its summary in the catechism, we will be well fed, spiritually nourished, taught of Christ. May we see his glory, so that this week then we may reflect his glory by the Holy Spirit. We pray now all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is the day of Christ. It is the day to draw us to Christ, to remind us of Christ, to have our eyes set again on the glory of Christ, and to show to us that true faith is in Christ alone. Perhaps you will have noticed that each of the four answers of those questions of Lord's Day 25 is centered on Christ. His name and his shepherding work is mentioned in each of them. And this text in Ezekiel 20 shows us why. Like Israel of old, we are told of Christ and then we forget. Like Israel of old, we are shown God's grace in Christ and his mercy in Christ, and then we go our selfish way, do our own thing, and rebel. He teaches us his statutes, and then we despise his ways. He says, go this way, and we say, no, rather I would go the other way. And then he draws us back into his house each Lord's Day so that we may start over again. The Holy Spirit has a lifelong work in each one of us. God the Holy Spirit works faith in us on the Christian Sabbath. Notice it, dearly beloved, and you'll find that in your bulletin and the handout, that God the Holy Spirit works faith in us on the Christian Sabbath. So we need to notice carefully this morning the following four things. First, Sabbath and Spirit are God's gift come to us. Second, on the Sabbath, the Spirit portrays the gospel sign. Third, he also uses the sacraments to help us to know. And then fourth, so his purpose for this day is to teach and assure us of Christ. What a glorious and blessed thing that we call what we are doing right now means of grace. This is what the Lord has brought us for here this morning. Because the Holy Spirit works faith in us right now on the Christian Sabbath. And so we see first of all then that Sabbath and Spirit are God's gift come to us. Perhaps you struggled a little bit with the flow of this passage in Ezekiel. It's a bit challenging. Maybe even we'd say, oh, what a downer. Even to have on Mother's Day a downer like this. But dearly beloved, our mothers, like all of the rest of us, need these very things first and foremost. Because what is revealed here in Ezekiel 20 is a clear portrait of the patience and the long-suffering of God toward his people. How many times didn't we read there in the flow of the text, the Lord says, here's the case against my people. They are guilty, and the sentence should be that I judge them and am done with them. And then comes that little word, yet. Or as the Apostle Paul will use a very similar word in the Greek, but. What a glorious gospel word that is. That his patience is active. And in that active patience, God gives. You will have noticed perhaps that in the flow of the passage, we have several historical phases portrayed about God's work with his people. In these 26 verses, the Lord lists out those historical phases. And in each one of those, because of the people's sin, they needed grace continually. Not just once where we come and have our tank filled and we go out the rest of our lives and all is well, or we come in once or twice a year to the Lord's house and we get a little charge of our batteries and then we're good to go. But no, again and again and again. What we see is that beneath and behind the finished product of God's people, what is beneath and behind, is to get a gaze of the superstructure. To get a gaze behind the finished facade to see what really upholds the house. And dearly beloved, what it is always is God's grace. We see the dynamics of the how of God's people being sustained. And each time we see that the how was God coming to his sinful people. He had to return to them and he had to engage them. This too is our need. You think of it very early on in the history of humanity, of Adam and Eve walking away from the Lord. Was it then, after that, that Adam said, well, I've got to search out and find God. And Eve said to her husband, go and find God. No, it was just the opposite, wasn't it? That God pursued fallen Adam. This is what we see here. And perhaps you didn't notice, but I'm going to bring your attention to this little word in the question of 65 of the Catechism. The question, it is very heavy, a little word here. The question that I asked and you answered to this morning of the first of the questions of Lord's Day 25, question 65, the language was this: since then we are made partakers of Christ. Do you feel the weight of that? We are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits, and then comes by faith. So that we see what the Catechism is pursuing here is the same as the text is pursuing, that these things come to us as a gift. The Catechism outlines it. Faith comes as a gift from the Holy Spirit, who comes down from heaven, because before him, Jesus Christ came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. So that the flow both of the text and of the Catechism is from up, down, from above to below, from God to us. Salvation is a multifaceted gift. So do you see clearly why you are in church this morning? Do you see clearly why you have escaped judgment thus far and have escaped damnation thus far? Do we see clearly why we are any different from the millions who are right now at this moment profaning the Lord's Day? Why are we any different? What does the text tell us? Verse 12. The text gives to us words of condescension. Moreover, I also gave. I gave. Dearly beloved, how do you construe your definition of the Lord's Day? How do you construct your understanding of what is Sunday, the Christian Sabbath? Do you say, oh, what undeserved grace is this day to me that God gave? Because if he did not give, there is no hope. Dear church, he gives so that there is hope. All we need must come from outside of us, not just in some technical term of a legal justification, an alien righteousness which must be given to us. Yes, of course that, but the whole breadth of the Lord's Day. Even as Jesus promised about the Spirit's work in John 16, that he would come down and enable his people unto the faith that is of such great requirement. All we need we have from outside of us, or we are hopelessly lost. The Lord's Day is a rest for the believer because it is a day of work for God the Holy Spirit, who by means gives faith and grace. So that secondly, on the Sabbath, the Spirit portrays the gospel sign. Verse 12 again, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me. So that reconciliation itself is portrayed on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, is intentional gospel repetition. Notice, please, that the Lord gave the Sabbath to, verse 12, it says, using the pronoun, to them. Who's them, children? Did you trace that out carefully as we were reading through Ezekiel 20 this morning so that you kept hold of the pronouns? Again, in Scripture, those pronouns are very important. Who is the them? It's not the pagan world, it's not the Gentiles, it's not the unbelievers, but it's the church, it's the covenant community, his covenant people. The ones he rescued out of Egypt, aren't we right there in Exodus now? Were you surprised to see that even in that time of God rescuing his people, he was rescuing a people that didn't deserve to be rescued? How significant is that to us? He rescued them and planned to give them, notice the language, don't you love that? The glory of all lands. That's rich language. He planned to bless them. And so he gives to them this sign, the Sabbath, to be a sign between them and me, which is a gospel sign for the church. Look again with me at question 67 in the Catechism. It says this: are then both the word and the sacraments designed to direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel a sign that instructs, a sign that has impact to our heart and to our mind. How often must that sign be seen? How often must we gather in by the Spirit the information that is given to us in this sign? Would it be sufficient for us to have it once and then go on with our lives? Oh, I've heard the gospel, I've responded, I've said what I need to say, I've prayed what I need to pray, I have an interest in Christ, and then I can go on and do my life, and I can live and be my way and do my thing. No. You see the repetition, don't you? Each Lord's Day, the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel. Each Lord's Day. Because, dearly beloved, each week when we go out and we face the challenges that we face, and especially the temptations that we face, we are continually challenged by our own sin and failure. We believe, but so desperately need gracious help with our unbelief. The last stanza of a favorite hymn puts it like this: I love to tell the story, for, because those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. This old, old story is God's sign between his erring, sinful children and himself, that he has rescued his people, he's drawn them out of captivity and brought them into freedom, out of darkness, into light. We come back to church twice on each Lord's Day to listen and be told that salvation is of the Lord, that we have forgiveness for sins and reconciliation because of his work, that salvation comes to us from above, to be strengthened now, and here's where the catechism is going, to be strengthened in the fact that faith is a gift from God, so that we might remember for the next 6 days what verse 12 tells us at the end of it, that it is the Lord who sanctifies us. How long could you go on in your earthly pilgrimage if you didn't come back to church each Sunday? How many weeks could you go on in the struggles and the battles and the challenges of the Christian life if you didn't return to the house of the Lord each Lord's Day? Or even worse, or more significantly, if you came to some church somewhere each Sunday and never heard the gospel? As you were struggling in your sins, as you were dealing with the afflictions of the flesh and the world and the devil, and you came to church and somebody stood and told you, you got to try harder. You got to work it out yourself. Get on with things. Come on, can't you do it? And then you got beat up and beat up and beat up. Do you see what the text tells us here, dearly beloved? But I acted for my name's sake. Why? Because the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They did not do what I told them. We need to hear that it is the Lord who sanctifies us. Does this give us a license to sin? Of course not. Does this lighten the load of the seriousness of living the holy life? Of course not. But it is because we're called to such a life, because it is commanded of us to live such a life, that we need to come back again and again to hear the gospel. We come to church to hear the gospel. Do you think that you come to church because you are a good Christian? Is your attendance here in the house of the Lord what good people do? Would you perish that thought? We come to church because that's what sinners do, who know the need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, then, the Catechism tells us, not only does the gospel teach us, not only does the Holy Spirit teach us in the gospel, but thirdly, he also uses the sacraments to help us to know. Now, question 66 begins in the Catechism, a detailed discussion of the sacraments. It's a discussion that's going to go on for several Lord's days, detailing in great care and distinctions what the sacraments are and what they are not, and how they benefit us and how they have been misused. Notice the language here. They are holy, visible signs and seals. And that's the language that's going to persist in the several questions and answers in Lord's days to come in the Catechism. And it reminds us of something very important. It's something Rome, by the way, and its theology of the Roman Catholic Church has gotten terribly wrong. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was wrapped up in the external, visible activities of atonement. The author to the Hebrews says that ultimately in Hebrews 10, verse 4, it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The believer in the old covenant saw by faith that the Messiah was promised to come. But he or she saw, the believer did, through those external acts. It is as if Christ was hidden in plain sight in the old covenant, visible external activities. Now you see, the gospel has been separated from the sacrament, proclamation from visible promise. Those two things have been separated and pulled apart. The preaching of the gospel works within. It works faith in. And sacraments confirm that which the gospel does. Those sacraments, though, they help us to know. Now we need to think carefully about this, because here's one of the serious issues where the church has often strayed in one way or the other, especially on the sacraments. What is baptism? Does baptism itself save? No, we do not believe in baptismal regeneration. Is the Lord's Supper a converting ordinance where people take the Lord's Supper and then are converted? No. Both of those are cases where, again, like the old covenant, things are mixed and drawn together. But now in the new covenant, dearly beloved, the proclamation of the gospel and its visible teaching and the sacraments have been separated. One brings saving faith alone, the gospel. The other assures and confirms, and those are the sacraments. Well, I mentioned Rome a moment ago, and they are perhaps the most obvious example. It's called in question and answer 80 of the Catechism, accursed idolatry, where Rome still practices things in the old covenant administration. In the practical aspects of church life, they keep together the things that have now been separated. And this sacramentalism in the Mass is an accursed idolatry, because they worship Christ as being present already in the bread and the wine. But the gospel and the sacraments have been separated. The Lord makes use of these, you see, to more fully declare and to seal to us the promise of the gospel, but to declare and to promise to us the gospel. The gospel. The visible, the tactile, the touch, the taste is used in the sacraments by the Holy Spirit to assure us of Christ and his work. But the Spirit uses them to assure us of Christ and his work. We could say it this way. The gospel is absolutely required, but the sacraments are helpful. But I want you to notice something, and notice it very carefully, dearly beloved. What is the Lord's Day talking about here? What event is the Lord's Day dealing with here? Where is it that faith in the gospel proclamation comes to God's people? Where is it that the confirmation and assurance of faith in the sacraments comes to God's people? It's not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, but it is only on the Lord's Day. Dearly beloved, listen to it again. Verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me. Now listen. That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. You see, when it comes right down to it, fourthly, his purpose for this day is to teach and assure us of Christ. Oh, dear congregation, or can I put it to us this way? Dear fellow sinner, how significant is this day for us? That we might come in and know that it is the Lord who sanctifies us. How central then is this day to faith? The catechism is not dealing with intellectual categories. The catechism is not saying, well, here's a lecture for you to make sure that you get it all right. And by the way, I've got the Cliff Notes. I'll sell those to you also. But it's saying, here are the things the believer needs, the sinning Christian needs to survive. And that's exactly what God the Father was saying through the prophet Ezekiel. Did his covenant community need to remember on the Sabbath a sign between him and them? It's an astonishing thing how dangerous it is to know something about the Bible but not to know anything about the Christ of the Bible. If you know anything at all about the Bible, it will press you if you read it with an honest and open heart and a mind that is ready to learn. If you read it, it will tell you of the holiness of God. It will make it very clear that this God is unlike any other being in all of the world, all of creation. There are no other gods like this God, and you will be convinced reading it that this God is a holy God. But if you read that and become convinced of that, apart from any draw to Christ, you will be an utter loss, and death is the only answer. And that was the problem with the old covenant people. Oh, we can have a little bit of God and go out and trifle with him and do what we want. What we need is a faith that drives us to Christ. If we are going to have the Bible, understand the Bible, come to wrestle with the God of the Bible, we need a faith that drives us to the Christ of Scripture. The Catechism in these questions and answers sets forth that necessary faith in all of the questions and answers. Necessary faith is worked into us, says question and answer 66, by the Holy Spirit on Sunday in the preaching of Christ. We are taught of Christ. Answer 66 says that necessary faith is strengthened by the sacraments, which direct our attention again to the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67 says that faith directs the whole of my salvation to stand on Christ alone or on nothing else. And in 68 it says, how many sacraments has Christ instituted? All of it is of Jesus Christ. And then those ending words again of verse 12. I am the Lord who sets them apart, who sanctifies them. Because they are like all other people. They are sinners who need a God who sanctifies them, that is, sets them apart, makes them holy. It really then shouldn't be that surprising to us what words we read in Revelation 1, verse 10. I, that is John, was in the Spirit. You know what comes next? On the Lord's day. And I heard behind me, says John there in Revelation 1:10, I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And when he turns around, you know what happens? He is knocked down by what he hears and sees. He falls flat on his face when he sees the glory of the one who is the center of the Lord's day, standing in the middle of the lampstands, which are the churches, is the blazing glory of Jesus Christ. And what happens then in the next couple of chapters of the Revelation ought to be something the church today in America remembers. That the Lord Jesus Christ begins to say, here are your faults, dear churches. Here's what you're doing well, dear churches. Correct these things or I'll take away your lampstand, dear churches. And all of this, dearly beloved, have to do with the Lord alone who sanctifies those people of his on the Lord's day by giving us faith. Faith that all he says is right. That Christ alone is our hope for salvation. And a faith which then he strengthens in the sacraments. Dear congregation, whom have you come to worship this morning? And what does he give you? Christ, who by his Spirit gives faith. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this most holy of days, that you grant to us the things which we need to live holy ways. Father, we know that we are saved by grace alone, by Christ alone. But it is through faith alone. So that we thank you for this wondrous Lord's Day, this Christian Sabbath day, that you have brought us in to grant to us faith, teaching us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning we give back now to you thanksgiving and ask that you would bless us and then that you would do with us as you would. May your will be done. Receive all the glory from us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.